Okay.
I must see it all.
So, okay, good. So, Perikhei of Daniel jumps forward in history, and then we go back. Because Daniel is not divided chronologically. It's divided into, since you're up to Perikhei Aleph, how is it divided, Darius?
Theologically.
No. Narrative, prophecy, or dreams, visions. Right, the first half of Daniel is the narrative component, and then we get just Daniel's dreams and visions in the second half of Daniel. So here we jump ahead to Belshazzar, and then who's a later king?
He wasn't a king, though. He was a satrap.
No, he was a king.
That's not what history tells us.
In Daniel, he's a king.
Yeah, he seems to be.
Daniel is a king.
Seems to be a king.
Fine, he's a
But at any rate, we jump ahead to he is a king.
Isn't a satrap a kind of ruler?
No, he is. What do you mean? He is the king. Yes. Well, that's the simple shot of Daniel.
Shot, but I don't think.
I mean, we don't know who these people are.
I mean,
we don't know who these people are. No, not necessarily, because there are a lot of different kings. This is one of the problems in the Persian empires. We don't. There are a lot of kings that you have to figure. Yeah, you have to figure out who. And there's many, many kings that are not mentioned in Tanakh, and we don't actually know which one ever is. But at any rate, we skip forward to Belshazzar. How much later Belshazzar is, again, you can look at Rav Meidan in his article where he just goes and summarizes it all, because it's really quite complicated. I just opened it up here. It's very goes on for a while. Right? Seder Olam Rabbah assumes that Nebuchadnezzar was king 45 years, Merodach Baladan was 23, and then Belshazzar for 3. And he goes through all the psukim of how you can figure out how many years he was based on psukim in the Yirmiyahu, v'chule, right, plus based on what we know in, again, I don't want to go through all the numbers unless you want to figure exactly how they got there, but between Psukim and Yirmiyahu and Shayo, we can come out with whatever it is, right? He's later on, okay? Right, it's possible that Belshazzar was like the son of the king and was active during the reign of his father, right? It's possible that there's some overlap. The years are a bit complicated, but fundamentally, Belshazzar is later on, okay? Two generations later, in as far as we can tell. So Belshazzar Malka Avad Lechem Rav L'Rav Ravanohi Alaf L'Kavel Alpa Chamra Shate. So Belshazzar gave a great banquet for his 1,000 nobles. In the presence of the 1,000, he drank wine. Now, this should remind you of
Achashverosh,
and it will, and you will see that a lot of the Midrashim of Achashverosh are shot in Daniel. But maybe you never realized that. So Melchizedek Amar Betam Chamra Laita Lemane Dahava VeChaspa Dian Pekin VeChanetz Avoy Min Hechla DeYushalem VeYishton Bohan Malka VeRav Ravanohi Sheg Latte Ulechenate. And while he was drunk, he said, "Bring out the kelim of the Beit Hamikdash."
Oh.
So you know that Midrash? You ever realize that the Midrash, right, that the Gemara quotes in Megillah, in the first paragraph of Megillah, that Achashverosh brought out the kelim of the Beit Hamikdash, and the Jews were punished because they partook of the Suda, even though he was using the kelim of the Beit Hamikdash? It's not pshat in Achashverosh. It is literally what is pshat in Daniel. This is what Belshazzar does, right? It's hard to say whether it's pshat in Achashverosh, because depending on how you work out the years, it's possible that Achashverosh is after Hatzarat Koresh, which means the Kelim and the Beit HaMikdash are already sent back to Yerushalayim, so they wouldn't be there. But this is literally what happens. And here you get this classic sin, right? This is the sin of all the kings, especially in Daniel. What is the ultimate sin? Is hubris, haughtiness, especially aimed, directed against God. And here you could not get a more in-your-face expression of that. Then he literally takes the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash, and he celebrates. Say what you want to say.
Has his harlots or
concubines. Well, we'll get to that. Now, right, Chazal, both for Achashverosh and for Belshazzar, argue that why does he do this?
To disrespect.
So, but why does he do this now? That's what I really should have said. So Chazal assume that in both cases, that they knew about the prophecy that the galut would go 70 years, and they assumed that the 70 years had passed, and therefore they thought that God was never going to save the Jews. They would know that Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar knew.
Where is this prophecy that it's 70 years?
Oh yeah, this is yeah. Okay. No, this is indeed a nevuah.
Okay.
For Belshazzar, the Gemara assumes that he calculated 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar, 23 years of Merodach Baladan, 2 years of his own, and this is 70, or this is the third year. So he said, oh, it's 3 years, and therefore I win. And since I win, because it's past 7 years, I win, it's never going to be turned back. Now, Rav Meidan argues, right, that it may not be that he actually knew about Yirmiyahu's nevuah, but it could just be that the reason he's so confident is because this is about the time when Belshazzar's armies overcame Persia. And therefore there was a significant increase in his power against other rising world powers, and that gave him the confidence that I'm essentially going to rule forever, right? And once you know that that's the case, maybe that's really what Chazal are getting at, meaning the situation made it that he thought that he was now unstoppable. And of course, as you know already from Nebuchadnezzar, hubris is going to, in Daniel, it's pretty predictable. If someone is arrogant against God, that's going to lead to his downfall, which of course is a pasuk as well in Mishle, right? Right, Mishle, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Yudchet, right, Lifnei Shever Gaon, Lifnei Chishalon Gova Ruach, right, pride goes before ruin, arrogance before failure, right, this is a Pasuk in, and again, this is exactly how Chazal understand Achashverosh, that he made the calculations differently, he thought it was 7 years, and he thought that he would now live for forever, and this notion that the way that you would express your victory is by taking the kalim from the Beit HaMikdash is exactly what you get in Malachim Bet, when Mesha, Melech Moav, does the same thing. He beats the Jews, and what does he do? He kills 7,000 men, and he takes the kalim of the Beit HaMikdash, and he drags them before Kemosh. Right, or yes, in the battle in the time of David, they take the Dafka there. They respect the Aron, right? They put the Aron out of respect in the Beit Dagon. It doesn't work out either way, but that is but that's what happens. Okay, but that's what goes on here. And again, Chazal say that this is what happens to Achashverosh because they're connecting Belshazzar and Achashverosh. So, Be'adayin haitu mane dahava di anbagu min echla di veda ala di v'yushleim v'yishtu v'hon malkov rev v'noi shag lotei l'cheinotei. So he brought out the golden vessels, and he drinks, his nobles, consorts, concubines, right? They're all drinking from the Kelim Beit HaMikdash. Ishtiv chamra v'shabachu le'elohei dahava v'chas v'nechash v'fars la'av avna. And they drink wine, and they praise gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, and stone, right? So this is everything. Hubris, avodah zarah. Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, you're allowed to have concubines, but okay.
Yeah, I guess.
Or at least whatever, you know. Not nowadays. I'm not saying nowadays to have it. I'm just saying. Bashata nifaka etz ba'an diyarena shechadvan lekavel nevrashta algira dichetal hechla dimalka malka chazei pas yada dichetal chadvan. This is where you get the writing on the wall. Literally, just then the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace opposite the lamp so the king could see the hand as it wrote. Yes, a hand comes out of heaven. Edayin malka Zivohi Shnohi Vrainohi Vahaluni Vikitre Kharse Mistarin Vaarkuvate Da Lida Nakshan. His face darkens, his thought alarmed him, the joints of his loins were loosened, and his knees knocked together, right? Yeah, I would also be scared.
Like a cartoon.
Yes, exactly. Now, by the way, who was completely taken by this picture? Little cultural thing you should know. But Rembrandt.
Rembrandt, yes. I would have right. Actually, that was going to
You know Rembrandt's picture?
Yeah, well, I know it's like...
This is Rembrandt's Belgium of Belshazzar's Feast.
Aha. That's right. Terrified.
Well, yes. You know, wouldn't you be?
Yeah, that's
right.
Crazy.
All the Kalim and like they're all terrified, and the Kalim and the Beit HaMikdash are, like falling
spoilers.
Around.
It says the letters. It's going to
Yes, correct. And Kari Malka, I told my students when I was in Toronto, like this was one of my questions on the test is who painted Belshazzar's Feast?
Nice.
Because it is one of those cultural things you should know that Rembrandt was completely taken by this picture. It's a beautiful picture that really captures the moment. He does, yeah.
So wait, just while we're on this topic
of Rembrandt, yes.
Are you allowed to draw? I know there's like controversy over like Yechezkel and the divine beings, but the metaphorical things that we see later in Daniel, the ram and the...
It's an interesting question.
They're symbolic.
Correct.
Not divine.
It's a question
so
why
can you,
whether you can make paintings at all.
No, but even within that, right, is that like Malachim, right? Drawing Malachim, is that, you know, a bit complicated, not, you know.
Well, Malachim is a different
But you definitely
question.
Can't create, right, the full images, right? Can you...
Right, but Malachim...
No, I understand, the metaphorical ones.
Question.
Yeah, it's a shaila. I mean, it's a complicated sugya and two-dimensional, three-dimensional, right? Right, you can't...
Three-dimensional, probably not.
Right, three-dimensional, for sure not. The question is, two-dimensional, is this considered something which is b'shamayim? It's a bit, right, which you can't even do in two dimensions. I mean, depending on remote version, but that's what
really
Pascal...
Like,
no, I understand, but you're doing... I understand. I have to go over this again, exactly what you do when you're doing the metaphorical ones. Anyways, he panics, and what does he do? Kari Malka b'chayel le'alola shpaya kazdoi v'gazrei v'arei Malka v'amar l'chakim b'bavel d'cholen ashti yikrei chitava d'nav vishrei yichavinani argivana yilbash v'amincha di d'hava al tzavarei v'talti v'anchuta yeshleit. And he says... He calls for everybody, right, the diviners, the Chaldeans, etc., and he said, all the wise men, whoever can read this writing and tell me its meaning shall be clothed in purple, wear a golden chain in his neck, and shall rule as one of three in the kingdom. And this is Yosef all over again. This is Mordechai all over again, right? I will put the rope... What?
Yeah, I was thinking Mordechai.
Saying it, it's also Yosef all over again,
wait,
right?
The clothing and the...
Yeah, he puts the Ravush Malchut, he puts his signet,
okay.
Right? They're the golden stuff on it, right? He, you know, gives him a name, he makes him viceroy, right? There's notion. If you interpret it, you get to rule.
Right.
And obviously, yes, Esther, I mean, again, I've told you over and over that these stories are in conversation. You don't even have to guess. Obviously, these are in conversation. There's a reason Chazal read Daniel into that book and say he's Hatach. Right? It's not like Chazal, according to Midrash, say that Hatach, Esther's go-between her and Mordechai, is Daniel. Right? There's a reason they say that. Right? Right, there's a reason they say that. If you remember last week, they think that's his punishment, right? He gets castrated, becomes a saris, and that's his becomes his role.
Right, but he's that old guy now. Like he's the, you know, old timer, Navi guy, and then he's just like a messenger between her.
Yes,
and that's kind of sad.
Yes, it is, and because they see this as his punishment for giving advice to Nebuchadnezzar, right? Chazal, that's one of the day that he's punished, and that's his punishment.
But he's a messenger.
Well, and he's castrated, and you know, becomes a serious. Anyways. So then, Alin Kol Hakimi Malka Velocha Alin Ktova LeMikre UFishrei LoDala Malka. All the king's men come and they can't read it. They have no idea what it says. Adain Malka Belshazzar Sagi Mitbahal VeZivoshin and Aloi VeRavmoni Mishtabshin. So he gets alarmed. His face darkens. His nobles were dismayed. And then what happens? So remember, he has at this point. It seems like Daniel's out of the political sphere. And he gets called back
king,
in,
right?
A different king.
Like
right, but it sounds like he doesn't, right, you know, once it's a different king, they don't know about him, right? I share lo yadat Yosef. And then just like you have the Sarah, right, the Sarah Mashkim, who calls, you know, who reminds the king that there is this person in jail, the queen here tells Belshazzar, you know, there is an old Jew who knows how to do this. So Malkata Likavel Mile Malka Ramanoi Levate Mishtaya Alat Anad Malkata Vamer Malkalam and Chaye Alyalukhayanekhvizivachalishtanud. O king, live forever. The queen came and said, don't be alarmed, don't let your face be darkened. Itake Var Mahuda di Ruachelahin Kadishin Bay. Uviome Avuch Nahiru. Okay, your father, your grandfather, whatever it is, but your father's days. Visalchantu of a Chachmal Chachmat Elohein at Tishkach Bay. There's this person who has the spirit of the holy gods in him.
Make use.
Like Yosef, right? And obviously, this is the same thing, the education component, right? He's going against God. God puts him in a position where he doesn't understand something. He needs to turn to the guy who represents God. Tanu mifasher chelmen v'achavayir achidanu mishrei ketrein hatishkachat beivinaniel di malka. Again, it's always interesting how the name thing here. Daniel, Some Shmei Belteshazzar, who made his name Belteshazzar, Daniel Kerev Fishrei Chave, which again highlights, I think, this element of Daniel. As much as they gave him a new name, he kept his identity. So every time you see him, you often hear Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, right? That he, as if, whether she actually said that or not, I don't know. But the fact that in the way it's recorded in Tanakh is that they're aware of his actual identity. As much as they try to make him Belteshazzar, they're aware that he's Daniel. They're aware that he is the Gole from Yehuda, that he's Jewish, and that he represents God. Right? That is never escapable in Daniel. That's always front and center for Daniel. So, B'danai Daniel hu al kudam malka, ne malka v'amar le Daniel, antu Daniel di ben b'nei galuta di Yehud, di haiti malka avim in Yehud. Right? And as if to drive it in your face, right? The king said to Daniel, "Are you Daniel, the one of the who was exiled from Yehuda, whom my father brought from Yehuda?" Right, twice in one pasuk, like it's very in your face, like you're the guy who represents Yehuda. V'shamit alach di ruach elahein bach v'nahiru v'sachal tanu v'chach mo yatira tishkach bach. I've heard that you have the spirit of God in you, illumination, knowledge, extraordinary wisdom. Uchaan hu alu kadam echak me ashmaya dechadav et dinay yikronu v'shrei lahu da turi v'lo cha'alin p'shar milta lachavaya. Now come, right? All these people can't tell what this means, but I've heard about you, but Hashemana Allah, ditiku p'shrei lahu v'shar v'kitrin lahu v'shrei ka'an. Nintachu k'tav al mikrei, u'v'shrei lahu da'atani. And if you can interpret it for me, I'll put you in purple, I'll give you gold, chain on your neck, and you'll rule as one of three in the kingdom, right? Presumably like one of the top men. Now, the interesting thing is that Daniel had a decent relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. He does not have that with Belteshazzar. And presumably because the Nebuchadnezzar, we see ups and downs. He recognized God, he doesn't recognize God. He recognized God, he doesn't recognize God. And there's no in-your-face, yes, he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, okay, given, right? But there's no, like, utter humiliation of the Kalim. There isn't this... He does not have this relationship with... And therefore, you know, he gives him advice, right? Give tzedakah, maybe Hashem will extend his mercy towards you. You don't get that here. He's just like, but then Ane Daniel v'amar kadamalka matnach lach lehevein univaz zbitiyatach lacharon hav bram kitava ekrei lamalka v'shreho dat ni'ine. Said, keep your gifts to yourself, give your presents to others. I'll read it and I'll make you know what it means, right? Like, I don't want your gifts. I don't. This is like Avram and Melch Sdom, right? Like, imichud v'yatzra chnav and lo, right? I don't want you to say any asharti at Avram. Like, I want nothing to do with you. I will do what I'm supposed to do, but keep your money, keep it. I don't want. But I think that really is what the scene is, right? It's the Avram Sdom is, I don't identify with you. I don't want to be part of your kingdom. I don't want you to think that, oh, you have something for me. You have nothing for me. You are everything I stand against. I'll do what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, you can also imagine, I mean, maybe it's not even political, that he walks into the room and he sees the wine and the kalim filled with wine. And
right, it could
he sees what they are and he sees what they're doing. And
right, it could not be, but it could just be that's his, like, right, it could just be his like initial reaction. He's called in, the kalim and the Beit HaMikdash are like on the floor and like,
exactly.
Whatever, right? But the point is, I don't want anything to do with you. Like, I just don't want, keep your money to yourself. You want me to do it? Fine. But I don't, right? It's not, you don't see that in Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, ironically, for all that he was a bad person, Daniel is willing to give him advice, be part of his kingdom, you know. Belshazzar, Right? And again, that seems to be this intensification of the hubris. And the amazing thing I would just point out is that Belshazzar doesn't, like, kill him on the spot. Right, like he's like spitting in his face, and like now it could just be because he's terrified, but right? He just needs someone.
Yeah.
Or it could be that he's a weaker king, and Daniel is. You know, no one seems to know who he is, but maybe he's still protected as like the. I mean, no one, he doesn't know who he is, so he can't be like the elder statements. Clearly, it's not the case, but I don't know, right? Maybe he, because the queen brought him in, he has some. I don't know what it is exactly. But anyways, he says on Malka. But he also, he very much, you see his relationship with Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, God, the God, gave power and grandeur and glory to your father, or grandfather, whatever, to Nebuchadnezzar. Meaning, A, realize that your power comes from God. And that's what he says in the next pasuk. Because of what God had given him, everyone was afraid of him. It's not you. Right? Your father at least sometimes understood this. essentially, is what he's, you know, I sort of hear him saying, right, your father got it, you don't get it, right? You just think, oh, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest. No. And then the amazing thing is you get this sort of godlike imagery. Do you notice this?
Right,
he said that he would put together who he wished, and whoever he wanted he would let live. He would raise up high who he wished, and he would bring low. This is... Right?
Mashpil
Geim. Mashpil Geim. Shralim. Right? Meaning, Nebuchadnezzar, what he's really saying to him is Nebuchadnezzar was given power by God, and therefore, he was godly. Yeah.
Right,
he was godly. He was partaking of God's grandeur. Right? I mean, that's a quote. Mm-hmm. Right? This is a quote, just in Aramaic, of what we just said. Right? Mashpil Geim. Magbiya Shralim. Right? Meimiru Mechayeh. Meimiru Mechayeh. I mean, think about what he's saying about Nebuchadnezzar.
Right?
I mean, that is a wild, wild thing to say. It's amazing to me that like Mepharshim don't even right. But I think that's. I mean, it's so obvious that that is.
Yeah.
I just think that's obvious what he's saying, right? That he partook of the greatness of God because God
made him.
Great. Yeah. But when he. His heart. Now, where's that from? That's a quote. Where's it from?
It's Haman. No. His heart became broad. What was it?
Come on. No. Come on. Oh, come on, guys. Making me cry.
It's an idiom. Like.
I don't know. It's Haman.
From where?
Wait.
The idea of like God.
Not the idea, the words. Yes. No. What does Ram Levavay mean?
Why
his heart became haughty.
Haughty.
Literally raised his heart.
Yeah. Good. Where is that from?
Yeravam.
No. Dvarim Perikhet. It's what he, what God says is going to lead to galut. He says, "Pendochal v'savata, uvatim tovim tivne v'yashavta." God is afraid that what will happen? You'll eat and you'll drink and you'll have nice houses. You'll have everything you want, gold and silver. And what will happen? V'ram levavecha. And you'll forget God. And what will happen? Right, I'll skip down. And you'll say in your heart, and he says, and what will happen if you don't? This to the Jews. And I promise you that if you don't, I'll destroy you. Like who? Kagoyim asher Adonai ma'avid mibnechem kein dovdun ekel dushmim mekor aleichem. I mean, what is Daniel? He's doing a parshanut. He's saying, God says that if you're arrogant and you're Ram Levavcha, then he'll destroy you like he did the other nations who? Daniel's saying, who were Ram Levavam? And here he's now saying to him, you are Ram Levavcha, right? And he said the same thing happened to Nebuchadnezzar. When he was Ram Levavay, again, this is just what Hashem says about the Jews in Parakhet and in Dvarim, right? Which is, when he became haughty and presumptuous, he was deposed and his glory was removed. Right? Until, and he lived amongst the animals and the grass and he ate grass, his body was covered in the dew, etc., etc., until he recognized God. Right? But you realize that in the eyes of Daniel, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar is the exact same theological message of Dvarim. If you recognize God, you'll be great. You don't recognize God, then I'll take away your greatness. That's just what happens. It happens to the Jews, it happens to Daniel, it happens to the nations in Israel. Right? It's a quote. You just have to know that. Right? You have to realize that. No. Come on, that was obvious.
That's actually a note that JP asked me about how it's like Deuteronomic theology.
There you go, Deuteronomic theology.
That's what they called it.
Correct. Okay, I Baruch Shekivanti. Baruch Shekivanti to JPS's convictions that this is Deuteronomic
theology.
Theology. In a Chanami, that's exactly what it is. Okay? Yep. Or in Frum Talk. This is a quote from Perik Chet in Dvarim, okay? Right? In Frum Talk. But it is, right?
Yep.
From Deuteronomy. What does Deuteronomy mean, by the way? Why?
Oh.
No, it doesn't. It means Mishnah Torah. No, it doesn't mean Dvarim. It means Mishnah Torah. Deutero. Nomos, twice the law,
right?
Mishneh Torah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's a translated Mishneh Torah. Just, no, anyways, not important. Really not important, but okay. Valmare Shemaya Hitro Mamt. Ulemanaya, but I was glad I was Mechave into JPS. Thank you. Ulemanaya, we both noticed explicit quotes of Psukim.
I saw your dog-eared JPS. Thought you'd appreciate it.
Oh, yes, well, yes. He says, I just gotten so many free JPSs over the year. When I did Tikva, they give me a free JPS, and like, so I have so many of them.
I would think Tikva would go for like Corin or something.
No,
JPS is like really academic.
I know, that's what they gave me. Anyways, not like this was the postgraduate one. It wasn't only Jewish, and like so we got the JPS. Anyways, Valmare Shemaya Hitromamt. You have exalted against yourself against the God of heaven. And again, this is the educational point. You aren't against your gods, which is what the queen said, that I have the spirit of the gods. I don't have the spirit of the gods. Right? The spirit of God. Capital G. Rivanach, Shagleitach, Ulachenatach, Chamra Shatin Bahonalai, Haspa Vedahava, Nahasha Farzala, Ava Avna di Chazin, Lashamin, Loyadin, Shabach, the Ladin, Shmata Vide, Velokal, Archatach, Le Lohadart. You've exalted yourself against God. You, your nobles, your consorts, your concubines drank wine from them, praise the gods of silver and gold, bronze, iron, wood, stone, which don't see and don't hear. Which is, of course, a Tehillim, thank you. Baruch Hashem, there you got that one.
Also,
right?
Yes,
also, but he's quoting Hallel.
Sure.
Yes, Hallel, Tehillim, yes.
They're all...
These images come up a lot.
Yeah,
this is not like... but the God who controls your life breath, and every move you make, him you did not glorify, which is, I think, a great translation of that pasuk.
Oh, yeah. Is that the JPS translation?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The 85, I think. The one online is the
85. Okay,
yeah. And therefore, he made a hand appear and caused the writing to be inscribed. Now, this is, by the way, this is one of the greatest English idioms, that the writing is on the wall. I mean, it's a beautiful imagery.
Yeah.
And he says... This is what it says. Now he knows what he said. This is what it says. Mini, mini, takelu parson.
Oh, of course.
Yes, of course.
Wait. So he couldn't read it? It was gibberish? Daniel had to read it for him?
It was written in Hebrew.
Oh,
in Hebrew letters,
okay.
Right? Or in Aramaic, but Hebrew letters.
Right.
Hey, what?
I mean, this is Aramaic.
Yeah, so why letters? Couldn't have Bel...
Because written in Hebrew letters.
Aramaic is not in Hebrew letters.
Is it in Hebrew letters, but the language was in the Aramaic.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Wait.
Like, Belshazzar was not speaking in Hebrew letters. He was not writing in Hebrew letters.
I don't think so.
Oh, you're saying the things on the wall were
translated.
Old Hebrew script.
No,
or some, or,
oh.
I don't know exactly what he could have read.
The modern alphabet is
right,
Aramaic. So
yeah, no, I understand.
Right.
But whatever it is, he can't read it. And he says, okay, now what is it? Dina fishar milta... Mine elah machudak vashlama. So mine is count, right? God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tikel, what's tikel? Shakal. He weighed.
Right.
Shakal. He remember shin tuf.
Yeah.
Right. Tikal tikalte b'moznaya v'tishkat chasir. He's weighed you in the balance and you've been found wanting. Praise preset machutach vihavet lemadai faras, and paras is he's given you to the Persians, right? Which is what happens because
Persia then invades.
Yes, as it tells you in a second is peadain amar belshazzar al vabishon adiv gavana vaamincha di dahav al tavriv achiz aloi di laave shalit klatav machutas. So Belshazzar clothes him in purple, plays a golden chain in his neck, makes him the third in command, and be belelia katil Belshazzar malka kazda. And that night he is killed, whoa, and it's the Persians take over. Done, and the next pasuk is already Vidaryavish Madaya Kabal Malchutek Varshin Shtidim Varshin. You're already in Darius, right? Meaning Kacha.
I love how he's like so blind drunk that he's like, all right, sounds good. Here's your golden robes and chain.
That's great.
It's like such a good image.
Now, again, it could be that Daniel already saw the writing on the wall, and that's why he wasn't afraid of him. Mm. But he looks at it, he's like, I know what that means. I don't care about you. Right? It could be that part of what led to his total lack of fear. Oh, yes, I will be the king until tomorrow, right? I'll be the third king until tomorrow, right? Till nightfall. I'm very impressed. Yeah, now, so Rav Meidan, again, here I'm, you know, in general, very much influenced by him. He notes that he thinks the numbering and the weighing are very precise. That the numbering are because, since there was the prophecy from Yirmiyahu, that it would only be 70 years, that's why it's numbered. Right? And that's why the Midrash is playing on the fact that he miscounted the numbers. The point is, there's a number here, and your time is up. There was a specific number, and the promise from Hashem is once the 70 years is done, it will be, which again could be part of why Daniel is not afraid. Now, Rav Meidan says, why is it that Daniel, that Bavel was limited that way? So his suggestion, I think this fits the themes we've been building here, is that because Bavel was a world superpower, and that God had literally made them his representatives in the world, as you see from Daniel's language, he's taking the place of God. You can only give that power to a human for so long before people forget there's a God. Right? That type of power has to be limited. Right? Because if it's not limited, so to speak, in quality, it has to be limited in quantity, or right, what are you going to do? And that seems to be what the counting imagery here is, that God counted it out. The weighing,
right, I mean, he did bring on this desecrated on the Caleb.
Yeah. Right. The weighing, you know, what is it exactly? I think this is more, I would have guessed this is more the imagery of the, you know, Skuyot and Kovot, right? This is like pretty classic imagery, I think somewhat universal, of it being about judgment and about, right, weighing justice. Yeah, I mean, this is like a universal image. That's how I would take it. You found, you know, I mean, that's, I think that's what it is. Look, Ramadan quotes a few midrashim where this notion of years and justice come up. I don't think we need to prove it. I think this is just, I think the simple pshat is he's right, that this notion that there were a certain number of years and after that God will execute justice. Now, it doesn't mean that just at the end of the years that you punish rampant, you know, randomly. It's at the end of that, when their kingdom has to end, then you judge them. And Ramadan points out that's really what happened with Mitzrayim, that Hashem said that after the 400 years, then Hagar, right, then the nation which tortured you, Dan Anochi, meaning there's the combination. Once the time is up, then I'll judge it, and it turns out that they were particularly bad in that time, but I'll judge them justly at the end of the time. There's two things. It's not like, at the end I will free you, and depending on how bad they were, when the time comes, that's going to be judgment day, and that's what you get here also. It's 70 years has been reached, and you've been particularly egregious in how you did this, and therefore, and that's why he gets him. And again, the reason is because Belshazzar is so irreverent. He's just so irreverent of the Caleb and Mikdash. But you don't get this feeling with Nebuchadnezzar. That Nebuchadnezzar right, in certain midrashim, right, the midrashim go farther and say that, like, at least by the Romans, right, they actually made the Jews take the Caleb out because they were afraid. But even if you don't you don't want to go midrashically in pshat, he's so respectful of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, right? Yes, he has anger bouts and he throws them in the fire, but when they come out, each time, there is this underlying respect of God. There is a recognition. It's not this, it's not, yes, he destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, and that's not great. No one's saying he was a great tzaddik, but this, the extent of this overwhelming hubris isn't found. Now, and as I mentioned, that Chazal really think that this is exactly what Eliyahu, that that was the Midrash he quotes, that Achashverosh did. Right? That Achashverosh made the exact same thing. He did a different calculation, and he just made a different calculation of 70 years. Right? He counted the seven, right? Right? Meaning he counts 70 years from the of the Galut, not 70 years from Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore he gets to 70, and he thinks, oh, it's been past 70, and I can use the Kalim. But what they're doing Midrashically is saying that same hubris and frivolity and that just irreverence that you see in Belshazzar, you see in Achashverosh, the same sin, right? And that's really what Chazal are doing with this, right? With this midrashic connection. Now, of course, why is it that the punishment comes through Persia? Right, why does Belshazzar's punishment come through Persia?
About Persia or?
Well, tell me, why is that significant? Keeping this this in mind, come on, we learned Ezra together. Because what's the first temtukim of Ezra? Hatzaret Koresh, and what does Koresh say?
Because Koresh.
Go build the Beit HaMikdash, and here are the Kalim that Nebuchadnezzar took. Take them back to the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
Right, it's not accidental that he lets Persia be the ones that overtake Bavel, because they are going to be Hatzaret Koresh. Persia is not just going to be the kingdom that allows to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, but specifically, they're going to send the Kalim back to the Beit HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So that's the tikkun. Right? Very literally, that's the tikkun of Belshazzar. Belshazzar's ultimate sin is that he degraded the Kalim of the Beit HaMikdash. So Persia is the one that kills him and takes over his kingdom, and they are the ones that send the Kalim back to the Beit HaMikdash. And Josephus actually contends that this is because, you have to go to that chair, right? That he actually knew about this prophecy, right? And that Josephus claims that, I'll read it to you, right? God who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, and saying of Jerusalem it shall be built, and the temple of the foundation shall be laid. So says God to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, to loosen the loins of kings, so to open doors for him, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before him and make straight that which is crooked. I will break in pieces the doors of brass and cut apart the bars of iron. Sorry, this is Yeshayahu, right? Yeah. That he knew this whole thing, right? This is Yeshayahu, but Josephus writes that this is what he actually knew of it. Rav Meidan argues that maybe he didn't, that unlike Josephus, maybe he didn't know about the prophecy of Yeshayahu, that's a bit weird, but maybe he did know this story, right? Meaning if Persia took over from Babylon, maybe he did know this story and that did influence him. The fact that he knew of this story and that it was divinely ordained and that, you know, Persia would take over and sort of knew that story.
Or it could be kind of a coincidence. He was like a kind of more liberal.
Who knows? But look, the fact that the Tanakh goes out of its way to connect it to Daryavesh,
yes,
right? And the Midrashim play up on this. Daryavesh is clearly makes a point that this is actually intentional. That God wanted Persia to fix the sins of Bavel and Belshazzar in particular. Whether Koresh knew that or didn't know that, it's possible that he knew that this was royal, right. Remember, especially if this happened that night, and then he takes over. Right, this is like all the talk. Right, it's this morning there was a Jew who predicted based on this magic writing on the wall that Belshazzar's reign would come to an end and Persia would take over. And look, you did it. Right, this is like the story in Gittin, that as soon as, right, then when Reuchon ben Zakkai actually tells Titus that he's going to become the emperor, right, as soon as he finds out that it was true, he gives him whatever gifts he wants, right? This, it could be that that's really what's going on here. But anyways, that is, cool. That's the barak. You go to Shir.
Thank you.
The writing of the wall. But I really, look at Rembrandt more carefully if you want to. It's beautiful, really.